Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall, we will, we must, we just got to rejoice and be glad in it, because God is good and greatly to be praised. I thank God this morning for waking me up, clothing my right mind, and grateful that I didn't die in my sleep because I couldn't breathe. Grateful that I woke up, whoo, hallelujah, this morning with a praise in my heart and a pimp in my step because God did it. God gave it to me, and I'm grateful. Every day, Lord, I wake up, and I just want to say, Lord, I'm thankful that you woke me up this morning. I'm grateful that you gave us a new day, and I'm blessed to be a child of the King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Lord God, I come to you this morning, humbly praying and lifting up the name of Jesus, asking you, Lord God, to increase as I do too. Lord God, as I lay this word in the ark of safety, asking you, Lord God, to guide me in it, to lead me in it, and to help me to grow in understanding. As I read your word, Lord God, let this meditation touch someone's heart, mind, and spirit, that they will want to read it for themselves and study it for themselves and know who you are, that you are great, that you are mighty, that you are our Father God, and that you love us more than anything. Lord God, I thank you this morning, and I praise you today, and I lift up this word in Jesus' name. And together we all say, amen. Good morning, family. We have a lot of words this morning, but we are catching up on some words that we have missed because of the Easter weekend and the fact that we did not have a show on Sunday. So we are kind of a little behind, but not a lot. We are on point. And I always say that the word that goes forth is the word that needs to go forth. And if you can hear me or if you haven't heard any crackling sounds, then please push the number one on your phone so that I know that I am not broadcasting clearly, because I keep hearing a crackling in my mic. So if you are hearing me clearly, then we're all good. And just push the number one to say, hear you clearly. Won't open your line. Just want to know that you're hearing me clearly. So get that one pushed if you are. And if not, I am going to close out for a minute and come back. So give me just a second, and I will be right back with you because I want to make sure that this song goes, this message goes forth. So just a quick music break.
It's the Prince of Praise, Byron Cage, with Pajam. Come on.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And everything that's within me, come on. I will bless his name. Is there anybody in this place that is here to bless him? Let me hear you make some noise. Come on, here we go. Say, magnify.
Magnify the Lord with me.
Come on, sing it to him, sing it.
Whom the Son he has redeemed.
Come on, say, clap your hands.
You are Lord of everything.
Here we go. I will
bless the
there. That's much better. Bless the Lord at all times. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we got to have that praise and worship before we go forth. And that is just one of my absolute love that song. I will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. Whew. For the Lord our God is great. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. Giving honor to God this morning and thanking each and every one of you for listening in today. So as we get ready to move forward, we will be in a new book this morning. We will be in Judges. You know, we're going to Judges because, you know, Joshua, the son of Nun, is dead. And folks are forgetting their history. And when you forget your history, you fall for everything. When you don't know who you are, you don't know what your family went through, you don't know what anybody has sacrificed for you to be where you are, you have a tendency to forget. A tendency to forget who you belong to. And that is what the children of Israel is going through right now. They're forgetting who they belong to. They're forgetting the Most High God who brought them out of Egypt. They're forgetting the sacrifices made by Joshua, made by their ancestors, made for them. Because they don't know. And when you don't know, you don't know any better. And they didn't. And so they're now wanting to be like everybody else. We want to be like everybody else. We want to be like the folks in the community. You know, we want to be a part of something. And not understanding that they are different. That they are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And they have an assignment. They don't understand. See what Judges is about. And it says the author is unknown, but they believe it's Samuel. It was written about 1050 B.C., about 1,000 years before Christ, covering events that occurred far back to 1375 B.C. In 10 words or less, we're going to describe Judges. Israel goes through cycles of sin, suffering, and salvation. Sounds familiar. We go through the same thing. We go through cycles of sin, of suffering, salvation. Why? Because we forget about God. And we forget that he gave his son's life for us. And this is what it continues to say. It says, after Joshua's death, the Israelites lose momentum in driving pagan people out of the promised land. The children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. In a statement characteristic of many tribes, which allow idol worshippers to stay in their midst, with tragic results, ye have not obeyed my voice, God says to his people. They shall be as thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare unto you. That's exactly what happens as the Israelites begin a cycle of worshiping idols. And we all know what's the commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. Thou shalt not bow down to them. So not make any graven images. All that stuff is right there in the top 10. And it goes on to say, that's exactly what happened as the Israelites began a cycle of worshiping idols. Suffering punishment by attackers, crying to God for help, and receiving God's aid in the form of a human judge or deliverer who restores order. Lesser known judges include Othniel, Ehud, Tola, Jar, Japheth. While more familiar figures are Deborah, the only female judge who led a military victory against the Canaanites. Gideon, who tested God's will with a fierce and with a fleece, and defeated the armies of the Midianites. And the amazing song, Samson, who defeated the Philistines, Samson's great weakness, his love for unsavory women such as Delilah, led to his downfall and death in the Philistine temple. You know, and that's just so sad. Samson was all that. And I said it, and something, all of that. He had it going on, except for he had a problem. He liked fast women. He liked fast women. And he liked unsavory women. You know, he liked the ones that was weak and different. He liked the different women. He didn't want a woman from his own tribe. He wanted something different. And this is a quotable. It says, I forsook the Lord God as their father, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were around about them. And then it goes on to say, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. And this is unique and unusual. Since several judges had unusual families by today's standards. Zar had 30 sons. Abdon had 40 sons. Ibazan had 30 sons and 30 daughters. Japheth had only one child, a daughter whom he foolishly vowed to sacrifice to God in exchange for a military victory. The ancient Israelites, this is so what, the ancient Israelites got into trouble when they did that which was right in their own eyes. And that's Judges 17 and Judges 21. Rather than what God wanted them to do, don't make the same mistake yourself. Wow. Judges is a awesome word, and we are getting into it. And I am so sorry if there is feedback. I am hearing a crackling sound in my mic this morning for some reason, and I don't know why. So please forgive me if there is any type of feedback. I cannot fix it because I don't know where it's coming from. So please forgive your sister in Christ, and I pray that you're able to hear this word, because we know that the enemy gets all upset when God goes forth, and he can't stand it because he knows this is going to be a great word. So let's get into this great word. And again, this morning, we are starting in Judges chapter 1. And it says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites, to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Then Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites in their hand, and they killed 10,000 men at Bezek, and they found Adoni Bezek and Bezek and fought against them, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then Adoni Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. And Adoni Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table, as I have done. So God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now the children of Judah fought against Jerusalem and took it. They struck it with the edge of the sword, and set the city on fire. And afterwards, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites, who dwelt in the mountains in the south and in the lowlands. Then Judah went against the Canaanites who dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kirjath Arba. And they killed Shishai, Ahiman, and Tamai. From there they went against the inhabitants of Debar. The name of Debar was formerly Kirjath Sefer. Then Caleb said, whoever attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it to it, to him I will give my daughter Akshai as wife. And Orpanah, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So he gave him his daughter Akshai as wife. Now it happened when she came to him that she urged him to ask her father for a field, and she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her,
excuse me, family. Just trying to get my mics and everything on point this morning.
Not sure why I have all the feedback, but I normally don't. That's much better. And it says this. So she got off her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? So she said to him, give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. He gave her double for her trouble. Come on now. Now the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up from the city of Palms with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the south near Ered. And they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with his brother Simeon, and they attacked the Canaanites, who inhabited Zephath, and utterly destroyed it. So the name of the city was called Harma. Also, Judah took Gaza and its territory, Ashkelon with its territory, Ekron with its territory. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers. But they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron to Caleb as Moses had said. Then he expelled from there the three sons of Anak. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwelled with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. And the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. So the house of Joseph sent men to spy out Bethel. The name of the city was formerly Luz. And when the spies saw a man coming out of the city, they said to him, please show us the entrance to the city, and we will show you mercy. So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword. But they let the man and all his family go. And the man went to the land of the Hittites, built a city, and called the name Luz, which is its name to this day. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and its villages of Tanakh, and its villages are the inhabitants of Dor, and its villages are the inhabitants of villages, are the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages. But the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out, nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Giza. So the Canaanites dwelt in Giza among them. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Catron or the inhabitants of Nahalol. So the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Echo or the inhabitants of Sidon or Alab, Ekzeb, Helba, Ephek or Rohab. So the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth Anath. but they dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Aven.
Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal. If there is anyone that's listening in that has their mic open, can you please put your phones on mute? Please put your phones on mute.
Thank you so much. Hearing this background noise, and I believe it was because we have some unmuted listeners out there. And it goes on to say, now the boundary of the Amorites was from the ascent of Ekrabim, from Sela and upward. Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bethshan and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will leave. I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be a thorn in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. So it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Then they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. And when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnah, Heirs in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gash. When all the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers, who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them, for calamity, as the Lord has said, and as the Lord has sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hands of those who plundered them. They would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with their gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked, in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn ways. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant which I commanded their father and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. God gives us everything we need. We got to do our part. We got to go to work. And the children of Israel didn't want to go to work. They didn't want to do what they were told to do. And this is some life lessons from this word for this chapter, these two chapters. And it says, after the death of Joshua, Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be the first to go up for us against the Canaanites? The book of Judges begins well with the successors to Joshua asking the Lord for his guidance and direction. Joshua had taught them to listen to God, and as a result, they enjoyed a successful walk with God. Judges 1 and 8, Judah fought against Jerusalem and took it. The men of Judah did not capture all of Jerusalem, not until much later did David take the Jebusites in a cathedral. Sometimes we have to wait for God to give us the final victory. And as we continue, it says, they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, and they provoked the Lord to anger. The Lord predicted that if the people did not completely remove the pagan influence from their land, they would eventually serve pagan gods. Incomplete obedience has dire consequences. Will we go to the Lord and obey his word? When the going gets tough, our answers will determine whether we ultimately succeed or fail. Wow. And as we go back to Judges 8, 2 and 18, the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppress them and harass them. Where would we be if the Lord did not temper his judgment with mercy? He is a holy God with a loving heart, and for that reason, we continue to live and breathe. Hallelujah. And I have a life principle for this word today. And it's life principle. Reap what you sow and more than you sow and later than you sow. And I love this word that Dr. Stanley came. And he said in Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he said, today is the father of tomorrow. What we are today is the result of what we have been thinking and the way we have lived in the past. Those who save wisely today will have plenty tomorrow. Those who spend everything they have today will have little or nothing in the future. It is a short-sighted person who thinks only of the now, doing as little as possible for on payday. He will have one way to avoid the poor quality and small quantity of his rewards. God has given us in Scripture a principle that serves both as a warning and as an encouragement. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. Galatians 6 and 7. This is an unalterable law that affects everyone in every area of life, family, work, and pleasure. Every farmer understands the hidden meaning of this principle. We reap what we sow, more than we sow, and later than we sow. Let's look at each part of the principle to make sure we understand its full implications. And the first principle. The principle applies to everyone, both Christians and non-Christians. This principle is irrevocable. There is no escape, either for the believer or for the unbeliever. It is a law of life. Did you notice how Galatians 6 and 7 begins? It says, do not be deceived. We can't be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever man soweth, the man reaps. And I love this. It says, we reap what we sow. The fact that we reap what we sow is good news for those who sow good habits. But a frightening thought for those currently involved in ungodly activities. For those currently involved in ungodly activities, such a promiscuity, drug and alcohol abuse, neglect of family, or mistreatment of others in order to climb the ladder or succeed. We cannot sow crabgrass and expect to reap pineapple. We cannot sow disobedience to God and expect to reap his blessings. What we sow, we reap. Let us not deceive ourselves. We will reap the harvest of our lives. The children of Israel, when they did what God said do, they got blessed. When they decided to allow the Canaanites to stay, what happened? They got oppressed because they didn't sow, and now they were reaping the harvest of their decisions. What we reap more than we sow. Why do farmers plant their seeds? Because they expect to harvest a great deal more than they sow. A single seed that sprouts can yield dozens, scores, even hundreds of seeds. It is the way, same way with both sin and righteousness. A small decision to do either good or bad reaps a much bigger crop for either joy or sorrow. Jesus used the picture of the sprouting seed to show that when we allow God's word to produce good things in us, the results multiply. We reap later than we sow. Some are deceived because their present seed does not appear to be producing an immediate crop, so they continue down their course, mistakenly believing that there will never be a harvest. But unlike the crops of the field, which get harvested at approximately the same time each year, there is no regular timetable for the harvest of life. God will give you what you need, and he'll give it to you when you need it. And that's what we have to understand, that God gives what God gives, and God gives it when God wants to give it. Let's continue in our Judges word this morning. We're in Judges chapter 3 through chapter 4. So just had to take a minute of life principles. And it says these, now there, these are the nations which the Lord left that he might test Israel by them, that it is all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. Again, now this is that sowing and seed. Did they remove all the wheat or did they remove the tares? They didn't remove any of the tares. They removed some tares, but they left other tares, which means they left some wheat. The Canaanites was the wheat for Israel that was going to suck them down. So let's keep reading this word. Because, again, reaping and sowing. And it goes on to tell us in this word this morning, God is testing them. They are being tested. And, you know, you're looking and you're saying, but, Lord, you don't have to test them. Lord, you don't have to test me. That's what I want to say sometimes when I'm going through. And instead, it's like he tests us to make us stronger. And let's go back in this word. And it says this. This was only so that the generation of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. Namely, five lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Havites who dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal-Hermon to the entrance of Hamath, and they were left that he might test Israel by them to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord. And it goes on to tell them, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Thus the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons. And they served their God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. He said it. He meant it. And he So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherah. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Orithmah, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan Rishathaim, so that the land had rest for 40 years. Then Orthonel, the king of Kenaz, died. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek, went and defeated Israel, and took possession of the city of Ammon. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. And when the children of Israel, cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ahud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. By him the children of Israel did tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Ahud made himself a dagger. It was a double inch, a cubic in length, and fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. So he brought the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had finished presenting the tribute, sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the stone images that were in Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. He said, keep silent. And all who attended him went out from him. But Ahud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. Then Ahud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Then Ahud reached from his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. Then Ehud went out through the porch and shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. When he had gone out, Eglon's servants came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So they said he was probably attending to his needs in the cool chamber. So they waited till they were embarrassed and still had not opened the doors of the upper room. Therefore, they took the key and opened him, and there was their master fallen dead on the floor. But Ehud had escaped while they had delayed and passed beyond the stone images and escaped to Sisera. And it happened when he arrived that he blew the trumpet to the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountains, and he led them. Then he said to them, follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. So they went down after him, seized the fords of the Jordan leading to Moab, and did not allow anyone to cross over. And at that time they killed about 10,000 men of Moab, all stout men of valor, not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. After him was Shemgar, the son of Anab, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox gourd, and he also delivered Israel. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hazoram. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, But Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. For 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. He was an oppressor. And as we continue in this word, we're in the Old Testament. And it goes on to tell us that the children of Israel came up to hear her. And this is, we're talking Deborah. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebadot, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab from the Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river of Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey. You are taken, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. But Heber, the Kenite of the children of Ahab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the Cherubim tree in Janim, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Adonam, had gone into Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Hesheroth, holding them in the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him, and the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariot and the army as far as Hath-Rosheth-Hagoyim. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. But there was peace between Jabin, king of Hagar, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, is there any man here, you shall say no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a hammer in her hand, and went softly to him and drove the pig into his temple, and it went down into the ground. But he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. And when he went into our tent, there lay Sisera dead with a pig in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. And as we go back into our New Testament word this morning, we have had some good word today. We will be a little bit over our 8 o'clock time. And our word is coming out of Luke chapter 13, verses 23 through 35. And it says, then one said to him, Lord, are there you who are saved And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will not be able. Then one of the masters of the house is risen up and shut the door. And we read on this, I believe, on Friday, but we're reading it again because it has a reason. And it said, and he began to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank with you in your presence. And all these things are going to come. And then Jesus says at the end, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. And as we have been reading in today's word, there were so many times that God wanted to do for his children, and they were not willing. They did not want to do the work that was required to clean Canaan out. And so it became a thorn in their side, thorns in our side, because we failed to clean out the mess. And as we continue in our New Testament word this morning, we are in Luke chapter 14. And it says, now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering, spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding those things. Told a parable of those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places. This is where our title comes from this morning. Saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he might say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We got to humble ourselves before the Lord. We are not better than God. He wants us to understand that he is in charge of everything. Who's in charge? God's in charge. We must humble ourselves before the Lord. And the word he said, humble yourself before the Lord. I got to humble myself. You got to humble yourself. We got to humble ourselves before God. For whoever exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, your brothers, your relatives, and our rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. You will be blessed because they cannot repay you. But you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the dead. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent a servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with their accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have brought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have brought 5 yokes of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. And as we continue, Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 35. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all those see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet? I'm sorry, 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation to ask conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. Shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears here, let him hear. Jesus calls for an exclusive commitment to the Father through him in comparison to our love for him. Everything else, everything should look like hatred. He alone must be enthroned in our hearts. We got to let go of everything so that we can worship the Lord our God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we read our Psalms on yesterday, but our proverb is this. And actually, we did not read this Psalm. It says this, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, as he did. So we read our Psalms on yesterday, and our Psalm for today is simply this. We have thought, O God, on your kindness, loving kindness, in the midst of your temple. And I am reading 48 verses 9 through 14. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your ear, your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgment. Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to all the generations following. But this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. And Proverbs 14:18-19. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. And I know we've read this before as well. The evil will bow before the good, and the wicked at the gate of the righteous. And that is our word for today. And just a quick example of Deborah, who I love. That's my girl. She set an example, and she said the Bible, and this is what Dr. Stanley tells us, the Bible doesn't tell us much about Deborah other than to call her a prophetess, a highly esteemed judge of Israel, and the wife of Lepidot. We don't know if Scripture descriptions her as a mother in Israel, means that she had children, or that she cared for Israel, as only a loving mother could. We do not know why God chose Deborah. to become a judge. That seems strange in a culture generally ruled by men. We do not know the devil love. We do know the devil loved God. And we do know the people trusted her, and even the commander of the army barracks respected her leadership. Deborah's example indicates that it doesn't take a certain set of credentials to become an effective servant of God. The Lord uses the person who listens to him and obeys. Deborah made herself available to God, and God made her victorious. And that is our word today. And that is simply humble yourself before the Lord. And that is our word. If there's anyone that needs to speak, push the number 1 on your phone or your line, and your lines will be open. Our call-in number for those that would like to just call in on a daily basis is 213-943-3597. We have a caller, 6962.
Yes, good morning, my dear. I thank you guys for all your prayers. I was at Memorial Medical Center last night because I was in extreme pain with my neck, and I praise and thank God through all the pain I felt this weekend. God moved the hardware back into place. I stood by faith and not by sight, and I thank God and praise him that there will be no surgery because he did it all when he was nailed to that cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, God, thank you.
Amen.
He never said the road would be easy, but we have to look for the prize of the calling of the priest, which is Jesus. Is standing there waiting on us to walk over that hill and up that mountain to another test.
Amen.
I'm just grateful and thankful. Yes, yes. God is worthy.
Yes, he is. And because most people don't know what happened in your situation. So could you please tell them what was going on when you talk about the surgery?
All right. Well, what I'm talking about is that in 2020, I had 6 major back surgeries. I broke my neck twice in 2020, but God, he healed me through the surgery. Well, I moved to Illinois, and I fell numerous times, and when a knot appeared on my face of my skull, they said it was a tumor. Well, when they looked, they said, no, it's hardware out of place. But I relied on the word of the Lord that said, I shall be healed. So I thank God for the prayer warriors who prayed. I was looking at having another extensive surgery, but God, he got the glory. And I am so grateful that he moved that hardware from the right side to the left and put it right back in place. And I mean, it was very painful, but I thank God he was the surgeon. He was the doctor. He was the wheel in the middle of the wheel for me. Because I truly got to walk by faith and not by sight when things look like that. And I'm grateful and thankful to God because what he did for me, he can do for anybody. If they're looking at having any kind of surgery, seek God like never before. Rely on him. He's going to direct your path. But know that he will be the wheel in the middle of the wheel for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, glory to God. Yeah, God. I am just so grateful and thankful to God for blessing me, his servant. Because he loves me.
Amen.
Thank you. Yes, yes, yes.
So grateful, and blessed, sis, that you are doing well. God did it.
Yes.
Yes. And we say, won't he do it? Yes, he will. But it's time for us to let go and let God, because I got to go to work. So thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And evangelists, we praise God with you that he got up, Jesus got up, with all power in his hands, and he healed your body. We thank you. By his stripes, you have been healed, and there will not be any surgery today. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. And have a blessed day, family. All is well. Again, humble yourself before the Lord and watch God work in your life. It is a wrap.